What up, everyone? It is your boy Ty Pounds, and you are now tuned in to the I'm Saying Dope podcast. Listen in as Carol and I go into detail about the power of influence, the power of discipline, how having an imagination can really help you move forward, how having self-doubt can really hinder you from moving forward, personal trauma, and how her company, Growthology Hub, is helping you to get closer to the people that matter by creating posts that are attractive and with a purpose. Welcome to the show, Carol. Please introduce yourself and just let the listeners know who you are and, you know, what your background is, where, you know, how'd you get to the point where you are.
Okay, so my name is Carol Pepe, and I am the founder of Growthology Hub, which is a do-it-yourself platform for social media for small business owners. And I'm also the president of the local entrepreneur network.
Sweet. Give me a little bit about your, like, your background. Did you go to school for, you know, for this that you're doing now, or was it just something that just came about?
Well, that's a good question. I have an eclectic career. So I started my career in customer service and sales. And I was so good at it that I was carrying my office in sales. And that was because of the customer service part of it. So I was promoted to teach the other representatives that I worked with how to do what I was doing. So how to service customers and how to meet your sales objectives by servicing the customers with what they really needed. So I did that for a while. And then I was promoted in the teaching realm. And I got the teaching bug, I guess. So I really enjoyed instructing others to help them to achieve their goals. So that's really what that was about. I left that company and I became a school teacher because I had the bug. And I wanted to save the world, kind of. So I did that for a while until, actually did it for about 10 years. I taught school. And then the pay wasn't very good, be honest with you. And the school I was teaching in had a high level of violence. So I left the school and I went back to the corporate world. And I worked as a project manager for multi-million-dollar, multi-application software release projects. And I was a project manager there. And again, that was really about servicing and networking and supporting all the members in the, it was a matrix reporting mode so that the people that reported to you for projects, and you would have like up to 30 or more projects at any given time, but the people who reported to you, you didn't actually sign their paycheck. So it was always a challenge to get them to do things for you. But my projects always came in on time or early and with very few errors in them. And so people started asking, well, how did that happen? And the answer is by supporting people. And that's really what it's about. So long story short, then I parlayed that, because that's not really what I wanted to do, into another path for my career, where I did employee engagement, where I got to support the 8,000 employees in the IT department at Verizon. And then I did PR at the same time for the chief information officer and his five vice presidents. So you look at that and you say, how can that all fit together? And it really fits together because of the people part of it. It's really about helping people to see who they are and how they can coordinate with others and how we work together. So long story short, from there, I retired from that company and started my own business. And the business was a marketing strategy company. And that's where the network came from, because I had some clients who were introverts and were not comfortable networking. So I did guided networking with them, a group of about 20, and that network just grew to, we have over 2,700 members in the network at this point because of the way we interact with each other. And it's really about being supportive of each other. And then out of that all grew Growthology Hub, which is it's a do-it-yourself platform for social media, and it is for small business to make it affordable. But it really focuses on the human interest side of social networking. And that's really, I think, where my heart and soul is. It's in being supportive of each other, of other people, and showing people how they can do it too. So if that's the teaching component.
Right. I mean, I appreciate you sharing that with us. Something that caught my attention was just the fact that you really love to teach. You know, you said you had the bug, and what was interesting to me, honestly, just coming from my background and, you know, being based out of Philadelphia, is the trauma of the troubled kids that, you know, that you worked with along your time of teaching. Do you believe that that had an impact on, you know, you pushing forward with what you have to do today or what you're doing today?
Absolutely. Because I first taught at a high-end prep school, a very expensive prep school. But I decided I needed to save the world. So I taught at what I call a badass middle school. You know, there were not knives and guns in this school.
I understand totally.
It really was like that. And it was difficult. And my area of expertise was reading and communication. No guessing work there, right?
Right.
So really about how we communicate with each other. But in that area, right, you have to teach grammar too. And you're not paying these people to come to class or to pay attention in class or to do their homework. So you have to get very creative in the way you inspire people to cooperate and to do things. And so that was, I think, a guidepost for me, right? It was the area where I honed my skills and refined the art and science of how to get people to cooperate and to have fun with things and to kind of come together to make things interesting and make them a learning experience where you're accomplishing something, but it's fun when you're doing it.
Right. Right. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, at the end of the day, it seems like school is more or less like a place of discipline for people because it's like you don't get good grades. And I can see why a lot of the students maybe, because I used to be that student also at some point, although my mom used to tell me, go to school, get good grades. You know, I believe that the influence of the children that you're around, you know, you may have, you know, and I'm sure you can attest for this. You may have, you know, two or three bad children in the class, but it overall makes the morale and maybe also, you know, influence a few of the other kids to maybe not do homework or interact in that same way. And I've realized that that has caused me to pretty much go down the same route as you. I never want to teach, but I feel as though I do have to get a message out to the people that may be influenced by those people. And ultimately, it's grown into a love for me also.
No, I was just going to say that is really cool, the way it came together for you.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, getting back to, you know, to the Growthology Hub. And so how did you come up with the name? What was the process with that? Did it just kind of dawn on you one day when you just said, you know what, or was it something that just, you know, drove off of the entrepreneurial?
Well, it was actually a mushing together, I guess we could say. Kind of like when ideas come together, they sometimes need to ferment a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They turn into something.
Mm-hmm.
So Growthology Hub is really about organic growth. Because it's really the project and the whole process is designed for small business owners who have a small budget. And their whole manner of managing social media is very different than the corporate moguls who have an entire team of individuals managing their social media for them. So what do you do on a small budget? Well, on a small budget, you need a loyal group of followers, and you need to grow that fan base. And so that's where the Growthology came from. It's about organic growth of your fan base and your loyal followers.
That's awesome. Yeah, and it's funny, you know, social media these days, I feel like a lot of people post their all the good side of their lives, and they don't really post things that, you know, help them to really move forward or help other people move forward. And I mean, just following you on Instagram and also on Facebook, you know, I've noticed that your posts are, you know, just really popping and appealing. I mean, you get, you know, 100 something likes and, you know, sometimes 30, 40 comments on your posts. What do you think it is that's really causing people to be attracted to your post and wanting to share those posts and comment?
Well, it's interesting. The whole thing came about because of a friend of mine. A couple of years ago, she challenged me to a positivity challenge. And she said, in this positivity challenge, for 10 days, you have to post something positive on your Facebook page. So I said, okay, all right, I'm up to the challenge. So I did. And in that time period, it was growing, right? It was a small number of people that were commenting on the post. But I don't like to be told what to do. That's just a little quirk about me. Don't tell me what to do because I'm not going to listen to you. As soon as you tell me what to do, I've already shut you off. But if you make a suggestion and you tell me how it works, now you have my attention. So to me, that's food for thought. And that's the difference in the posts that I put up compared to a lot of in-your-face posts that are telling you what to do. So the food for thought posts are, they help you to see if you do a certain thing or you think a certain way, then there will be a consequence for that. Mm-hmm. And then there's usually a wish for something that you need to accomplish that because of whatever that circumstance is. So I think that message resonates with people, or it obviously resonates with people. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be liking the posts every day.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, I feel like everybody has pain somewhere along the line of them growing up or them building a business, in between work, family. You have pain along that journey. And with social media these days, you're getting fed a lot of posts that have nothing to do to really push you forward or give you that thought, you know, that change, that different perspective on maybe something that you're doing or the way that you're viewing things, including your own life.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with the different perspective. That's really what food for thought is about. It takes you from where you are in pain and raises you up to a higher perspective so that you can see the situation in a better light and then resolve it. And that by doing that, then you resolve the pain that was coming with that particular situation.
It's interesting because, you know, something that comes to mind as you were like talking is discipline. And it takes first of all, I have to commend you because it takes a ton of discipline to really, you know, take your friend, you know, your friend up on that and post for 10 days straight or what you said, you know, it just consecutively. It's tough, you know. So how would you say, I should say, what is discipline and what does it mean to you?
Well, that's a great question. So it's really a self-discipline where you set out a certain goal for yourself that you've chosen. And it should be a goal that you have actually chosen and committed to. So because if you haven't chosen it yourself and you haven't committed to it, the chances of follow through are slim to non-existent. So you have to actually make an active choice to do it. Mm-hmm. And then it's following through on it. And the whole social media thing with Growthology Hub is a discipline. So there's an art and a science to it, but there's a discipline to it, to be able to get those fans to follow you, you have to respond to their messages. And that takes time. And it takes not being selfish, right? So you could just take all the comments yourself. You know, everybody's saying good things about you, and then you don't respond to any of their things. Well, that's a one-way relationship, and that's going to end real soon. So that's really part of the discipline, is the carrying through, the follow through on it. And for me, the discipline is easy because I see the reason for it. And the reason for it for me is the personal relationship with the other individuals. So it's not really about the number of likes that you get on them, although, you know, I do value that. But it's really more about the people who have come to see me that day. They've come to visit me that day. And there, if you look at the names on there with any scrutiny like I do, you'll see that there are different people on different days. So there are some friends comment every day, and some comment once a week, some comment twice a week, that kind of thing like that, which is why the numbers differ. And obviously the algorithms on Facebook or Instagram, they vary too from time to time. But it's the dedication to it and the consistency to it that matters to people. That it shows an authenticity in your personality, and it shows a trustworthiness of being in a friendly relationship with you. So that's kind of the benefit of the discipline that you would have.
Right. And it's funny because I was reading a book yesterday by Simon Sinek, Leaders Eat Last, and something that he mentioned in that book was just about how you can really only have true relationships with maybe 100 to 150 people, meaningful relationships, you know, of all the people that you follow online, or that's just, you know, a combination of your family, friends, and just people you know, you can really only have 100 to 150 meaningful relationships. So I can see where it gets tough in social media with, you know, keeping up with people, or just really trying to be personable with them, because it takes out the personable touch. And, you know, technology, me liking a post, me commenting on the post is maybe, you know, and I'm kind of just pulling this out the hat, maybe 25% of the emotion that really is if you were to be in person.
Well, I guess what I have noticed is that if you pay attention, and that's a big part of social media, is paying attention to the people and those individual friends and treating them like an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So I have probably over 3,000 friends on my Facebook page. And that's just because, that's enough for me at the moment. It's not that I don't accept new friends, but I do. But I'm not actively trying to get more friends, because I have, as you said, relationship with enough people right now to enrich my life. But what the point I was making was that if you treat each individual like a person, you'll see what they are interested in. Like, I have one friend and he's a referee. So this was his part-time job. But he's always talking about refereeing games, and he just absolutely loves being a referee. So when I comment on something for him, I usually add something that floats his boat, right? Something that is about referees. I have another friend who owns an Italian restaurant. And with that, then I'll put something with regard to the restaurant.
Right. So relating to people and finding something about them that is unique to them that you both can come to agreements on, or I shouldn't say really agreements, but just having some type of commonality.
Right. And that's really, when I look at it, that has been my success factor from all the way back to the beginning, when I was a representative for a company. And I was managing customer service and customer sales. So finding something that individual values and respecting that And when you respect that by letting them know that you're aware of it or asking them about it so that they can talk about it, then that is really amazing. So the reason I was successful as a teacher, having left the business world and become a teacher, is because I treated each student individually with what they were bringing to the table. Mm. And that's important. So you have to look at each student as a human being with certain talents and certain skills. And they may not be the same skills as the student next to them, but they all have to succeed in the coursework. So as the teacher, I believe, this is my philosophy, the world according to Carol, that the teacher's job is to find the student where they are and find what they are good at, and then use that as the building blocks for the part that they are challenged with. Because if you can show them that they are successful with certain aspects of the learning process, then they can use that to build on the part that they have not mastered. And that really made it a lot of fun. It was a holistic learning approach with hands-on projects that they were doing and portfolio assessment. That makes the learning process fun, and there's ways to make things fun. So when I left there and went back to the corporation and became a project manager, that was like chaos, having all of these different project teams and different people reporting to me for different projects, and I didn't sign their paycheck. They could have told me to, you know,
screw off.
Right. But I needed them. And I guess just naturally, right, because of my personality maybe, and because of having honed that skill for years on end, that it was easy for me to be personable with the members of my team. And I distinctly remember another guy on my team who had been slated for promotions before me. So he was a tall, handsome young fellow, and he was the guy that they were going to promote. But my projects were coming in early, on time or early, and with pretty much zero defects in them. And so he was mad, and he dragged me in front of our director at one point and told the director I was schmoozing with people, and I was a schmoozer. And he was angry about that. And so the director, in his infinite wisdom, he said, well, whatever she's doing, you do it too.
That is horrible, though, for him to go to the boss and put you under the bus like that. That is. But it's corporate America for you. You know, I was there also, so I totally understand, you know, your position.
Right. So remember, I wasn't a youngster at that point either, right? So I was kind of a seasoned professional, and I knew very well why my projects were coming in on time. And I knew very well how to manage my teams. And I knew very well how to reward people, even though it wasn't a paycheck and a raise that they were getting from me. But there were ways for me to leverage my pull to get them the raises and to get them the rewards that they needed. So that's, you know, but it could be perceived as a schmoozer, right? A sweet talker or whatever, according to that guy. But that's really it. It's in a nutshell, it's being good to people. Right. Ask, you know, if somebody's taking a trip to Ireland and you say, when they come back, how was your trip? To me, that's a no-brainer. Somebody has a picture of their grandchild on their desk and you say, oh, how is, and you know the name of the grandchild, right? And that's really what Growthology Hub is about, too. That's how you grow your loyalty of your friends and fans, because you know them and you know certain things about them. And that is what really floats people's boat. It endears them to you.
You know what that sounds like, Carol? Putting people first. And that's things that a lot of people in this world don't do, is put people first instead of themselves first. There's always some type of optimism that, or, you know, something that somebody wants from you. You know, they're looking to gain. It's never just genuine love and wanting to see that person succeed, which ultimately usually leads to your success, because, you know, it takes one to help one.
Yes, right. I mean, and it may not be that you have a particular interest in something, but that other person does. And by recognizing it and showing them that you take an interest in them, that is, I think, life-altering for people, especially in today's society where, you know, behind a phone or behind a laptop, and people are not really interacting with each other in a way that is friendly, right? And that's what being friendly is really all about.
It's true. It is so true. So, I mean, it sounds like, you know, you're the type of person that's super ambitious. One of the questions that I do have for you is, like, what is it that gets you up every morning to keep pushing forward and keep pushing through the ups and the downs? Because as an entrepreneur, you can, and just in life, you have ups and you have downs. You know, just like you have a left hand, you have a right hand, and yes and no, you have ups and downs. You can't always ride on a high horse. So when there are those days, what is it that keeps you ambitious and hungry and motivated? Is there somebody that keeps you pushing forward? Your kids, God, what is it that gets you up in the morning to keep doing it?
That's a good question. I would say that I am a deeply spiritual individual, and I am on a constant improvement plan, a constant self-improvement plan. So I do a meditation every morning, and in that meditation, there's something that I'm working on, that I'm upgrading that particular day. So there's that part of it. But as far as projects and things, I am a person who imagines things. I can look at something that's a mess, that's chaos. And in the chaos, I'm able to, I guess, abstractly manipulate things so that I'm moving them around and clearing the chaos, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
So that it sort of smooths out the direction. So I always figure if there's chaos, then things are not organized in a manner that works. So it's really about clearing the pathway to do that. And that's really the service part too. So I have been working on a project where I'm creating a set of 10 lessons in social media. Mostly for Facebook and Instagram. And there are 10 different lessons, different modules that will probably take about an hour each to do these. And that's because I have been called upon several times to teach classes. So each time I'm called upon to teach classes, I'm keenly interested in the questions that people ask, because they have problems. They have problems knowing what to do with their social media.
I think we all do, not to cut you off. I think we all feel like that at some point in time.
Right. And that's okay. So by addressing those problems, right, so I was able to capture some of the questions and the problems and the challenges that people have, and then organize it into a list of chronological steps, right? So because you can't master it all at once, and nor should you. And you should make it in digestible morsels besides, right? So because adults have too many other things on their plate, and business owners have too many other things on their plate to have to master social media. I figure that's my job. But if you're going to be doing it yourself, there are some things that you should know, and they should be easy to do, right? So it's a matter of boiling it down to something that you can pick up and you can do. And so that's why I have been working on those. And actually today I'm on lesson number 7. So 7 out of 10. And then I was realizing that, okay, so I have my lessons at this point, and now I think I'm going to slice and dice the lessons up and create some ebooks out of them. And then, and maybe there'll be a video or two, you know, in the lesson program that people can purchase them, or they can purchase one or two of them, whatever they want to do. Because that way it puts control in the hands of the individual. So that way they can purchase just the piece that they need. I mean, maybe they don't need the whole thing. So that's the, I guess, the inspiration for getting up in the morning, to be able to service your customers. So you're making their life easier.
Right. And I mean, just based off the conversation, it sounds like you're really a people person. You want to see people grow. You want to see people succeed. And you don't have no real, you don't have anything behind that besides the love, which it should be, the love and the compassion for people.
Right. Well, and that should be the starting point for whatever you do in the world, according to Carol. That should be the starting point. It should be the service that you provide to someone that makes their life better. And that is what a business is really about. That it's not really about what brings you the most joy, although you should get some joy from the work that you do. I don't want to discount that, because if you're not enjoying the work, then, you know, like, why bother? Mm-hmm. But it's the meeting point between what brings you joy and what serves others. That means you're on purpose. So that is your purpose in life. And when you're on purpose, you're in the groove, right? And things just kind of move together and pieces come together for you, and it's a happier occasion.
Right. And it's just moving with purpose at the end of the day, you know, finding yourself and moving through this world with purpose and love and compassion and wanting to help other people. You know, what do you believe your purpose on this earth is, like, when it's all said and done?
What is my purpose? Yeah. That is a great question. I think my purpose is to be a light. And I know that sounds kind of corny, but my purpose has been to be a bright spot that shows people what you can do, instead of worrying all the time about what you can't do, but looking at what you can do and then imagining the next step for what you want to do.
Right. Imagining that's important. Imagining, always thinking ahead and thinking more of yourself, not limiting yourself. I feel like a lot of people, including myself, you know, as a human, you put limits on yourself. And I don't know if that's just by influence of the schooling that we go through, or, you know, parenting. Maybe it's a combination of factors, environmental factors, the news. But I do feel as though that we put a lot of limits on ourselves and sometimes don't think ahead. And we go based off of the ideas of other people or what may come easy to us. And something that stuck out to me in your conversation was, you know, just working through chaos, you know, having anything that is to grow or that will be improved or, you know, that will be developed starts with chaos. You can't start out perfect. First of all, I don't believe there is a perfect, but I don't think that you can start out with, for instance, the phone made. You have to start out with pieces of chaos and put the pieces together to create a phone, if that makes any sense.
Well, I agree with you. And that's really, I guess, the beauty of imagining things, because if there is an infinite universe and there are infinite possibilities in the universe, and if we just remember that, and I'm not saying that I am the most fabulous person at remembering that. And most of my life, I was not, because most of my life, I was the accountable, responsible individual who, you know, kept her nose to the grindstone and worked within the realm of what was possible. And it's not that I wasn't adventurous and I didn't step out and I didn't move around in my career. I truly did all of those things. But when I look back on it, I realize, as you had said, I could have stepped out in an even bigger way than I did. But there must have been some reason, something that led me to believe that I was within a closed set, you know, like there was parameters on what I could do. And they were pretty wide parameters, don't get me wrong. But there were parameters on that. And the beauty is not being so stressed out about it all the time. And if you imagine what it is that you want to accomplish and imagine it coming to fruition, that is the critical step. So a lot of times we imagine all the things that can go wrong, but we should be imagining all the things that could go right.
Right. I'm a spiritual person myself. I'm a believer of what you sow, what you reap. You know, you put out good energy, you get back in return equal or more. And yeah, I agree with you on everything you just said with, you know, just having that, you know, being able to imagine and just putting yourself in a restricted zone mentally. You know, sometimes we go through trauma in our lives, like I mentioned, to where, you know, you'll have a restriction on yourself that you believe that you can't do, you know, can't do this or I can't do that. How did you get over that, you know, just based off of what you're stating? Because I'm sure that a few of those times came up in your time of transitioning from corporate America to being an entrepreneur. What was that turning point for you that just was like, you know what, I'm going to do this no matter what?
Well, I'm an avid reader, and I'm an avid reader of nonfiction, I guess you could say. I read a lot about the science of mind and the study of epigenetics lately, and the study of, I guess, of making things happen. So, and there are a few authors that I really, really love. There's Bruce Lipton. He wrote a book called Biology of Belief. And in his book, and what I really love about him is that he's a scientist, obviously, but he's humorous. So his book is written for the layperson. So, and it's interesting and it's humorous, but what he discovered is that we can flip the switches on our DNA markers by the thoughts we have. And that has an immense impact on our ability to be healthy or not.
So true.
And what manifests as a result of what's on your DNA is really the consequence of the thought patterns which trigger the chemical reactions in our bodies. So that's Bruce Lipton. And then there's, I think I want to say Dr. Thomas Troward. And he was a judge, and he wrote early in the 20th century. And his books absolutely fascinate me. It's way more than mind over matter. He comes from a Christian footing, I guess, is the way I want to say it. And the way he explains it is the best I've heard. So it's really wrapping your head around the idea of as a man thinketh, so he is. And that, I would say, are probably the two that stand out for me as guideposts for the thought patterns that I have. And I think the way we think and what we think about our philosophy of life has everything to do with our ability to function in life and not get depressed about things. You know, like you said, sometimes things go wrong. Well, that's sometimes something that you need to accept because maybe you were headed down the wrong path.
Right.
and the universe is just putting you back in the right place. So it's that understanding that, you know, everything will work out correctly. And I'm not a stupid idiot because I did X, Y, or Z, right? It was an error in perception. And now we're going into the right path. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And I totally agree with you with everything that you're saying. You know, my mind's kind of just wandering here because I'm just thinking of how many people that are, you know, in a position where they don't feel as though they can continue to move forward. Maybe they have a bad record. Maybe they've, you know, been incarcerated. Maybe they've, you know, they just been dealt a handful of bad cards in life. And it sometimes isn't inevitable to not take that hand and look at it and say, damn, I have a bad hand. Like, I'm giving it all in. I'm what do I have to live for? But understanding that everyone has a purpose on this earth and pushing through no matter what, because somebody out there really looks up to you. Even if it's just one person, you literally can save someone else's life by believing in yourself.
Well, and it does start with yourself. And that's something a lot of people don't understand, because you have to start with yourself and you have to start clearing the issues that you have. So I mentioned to you that I do a meditation every morning and I do some upgrades. And the reason I do that is because I had a difficult childhood. My mother was extremely abusive, physically abusive and emotionally abusive. And she was that until she died. and that was, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago now. She was not physically abusive anymore, but she was still very emotionally abusive. And as a result of that, it had started for me at a very, very young age, like probably like infancy. And so you develop a lot of unconscious patterns that really are holding you back from a variety of things. And until they come to the surface of your acknowledging them, you can't relieve them. And so I work on a number of different practices that align the subconscious with the conscious mind and relieve the patterns, because they cause, you know, PTSD, and they cause a whole lot of other physical ailments. As I mentioned to you, the Bruce Lipton mind biology of belief book. So yes, it doesn't really matter what the hand you were dealt, because everybody was dealt, you know, some kind of trauma or challenge in life. But it's a matter of having introspection so that you can see what it is that's going on with you, and then realign yourself and make yourself able to move into what you imagine you would love. And that, I think, is key. Imagining what you would love it to be, and then giving yourself permission to live that life. Because I think that's another one of the keys, is that we often don't give ourselves permission to live our best life.
I totally agree with you. I 100% agree with you, actually. Something that, you know, that I wanted to ask you is, like, if you could go back in time and talk to your 20-year-old self, because, you know, you have a whole different mindset now. You've grown and you have wisdom and you've matured into the person you are today. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell that Carol?
That's a good question. I'm thinking it would be something along the lines of, it's going to be okay, but not to worry so much about all of the responsibilities and all of the challenges and difficulties, but that it'll all work out.
That's awesome. I would probably tell myself the same thing, even though that wasn't too far, you know, too far back ago for me, being 32 years old or going on 32. I would definitely tell my 20-year-old self to relax and to just more or less enjoy life, because you don't, you know, time flies quick, as we all know.
Right.
So in conclusion to everything, and I appreciate you sharing, you know, everything that you shared with me and the listeners today, like, what message would you like to leave the listeners that you feel is important?
My key message these days is, imagine your best life and imagine everything coming into place to support you in that best life.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So yeah, where could the listeners find you? Where, you know, your Instagram, or where could these people find you to, you know, get in contact with you and follow the Growthology Hub?
Well, on Facebook, we're at Growthology Hub. On Instagram, we're at Growthology Hub. And on my personal Facebook page, it's just under Carole Pepe, C-A-R-O-L-E, and then Pepe, P-E-P-E. And I do have a personal Instagram page, too.